And welcome to Beers, Bourbon, and Banter. I'm Nick.
And I'm Dan.
And on today's episode, we have a kind of a fun treat, although it's going to be a little bit weird because we're doing a tasting with a really cool Facebook group, Long Island Whiskey Society, which we met through, obviously, social media. And through one of the members on there set up a really cool tasting with the Redwood Empire. Yeah, so we got what's on the docket? Give us a little spreadsheet of what we're going to be tasting.
What we're going to be tasting, let me see as I move everything away right now. So what we're going to be tasting tonight is, one of them is the Lost Monarch. It is a boar rye. It's like a bourbon rye mixture. So that one is a 90 proof. We're actually looking forward to that. Another one that we're hoping to give a try is to the Pipe Dreams. That's another bourbon. So it's same proof, you know, 90 proof, 45 ABV. And there's a couple more. So we're going to go with the Emerald Giant we're looking forward to tasting. That is a pure rye. That's 75% rye, 5% malted barley. Actually, it's misprint. It's actually 95% rye. 95% on the Emerald Giant. And then they have a cask strength Emerald Giant. So that one is coming in at 94% rye, 5% malted barley, 1% wheat. Coming in at 116 proof. And this fifth one, let's see. Pardon my no glasses. Is the Grizzly Beast bottled in bond. So
basically, what do we have? We have three that are at about 90
proof. Three about 90 proof.
We have a cast strength one. What's the proof on that one?
The cast strength one comes in at 116.4.
And then we have the bottled in bond, which by regulations has to be what?
Bottled in bond has to be 100 proof at a minimum of 4 years in a, basically not a really a, if you looked up, it would say government controlled distiller, minimum of 4 years, usually what it is. So, and then that's usually, I'm pretty sure when they do a bottled in bond, I think it's two season. I think they have a spring and a fall season usually when they do a bond it.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up later, but I'm not really pretty sure that's how it usually worked. And then the last one is another one, bottled in bond. That's called a Rocket Top bottled in bond. And that's got an 86% rye, 7% malted barley, 3% wheat, 2% corn, and that's coming in as 100 proof.
Nice. Well, again, like I said, it's going to be a good, fun night just really tasting a variety of whiskeys from this one distillery, which is kind of cool. And actually, the setup was actually pretty unique. Again, we had a gentleman from this Long Island Whiskey Society. He set up the whole thing. He went above. It was amazing. I don't know how he set this whole thing up. He reached out to Redwood Empire. He either spoke to the distiller, he spoke to the rep, whoever, but they sent him bottles and bottles of each of these. I don't know if he supplied the little bottles, but we have the tasting bottles, which are, I think, 2 ounce vials, or maybe they're actually 6 ounce vials, but they're only filled with 2 ounces.
Yeah.
Of each of the spirits. And he went out to the whole membership and asked who wanted in and basically broke them up into these little pouches, these little bottles. I think I have a picture I'll post on Instagram. These little shipment things, and he's out in Nassau County, and it wound up being this whole collective chain gang of awesome members who were able to pick up that were near him, and they lived a little further out east, and then people met up with them and moved out further out east and eventually to where we were able to get them. I had picked them up from a gentleman in Patchogue, which was, again, so cool, this group of people that they're all willing to help out so we could all have this unique experience together. And then we're going to be having this Zoom call or virtual call with the actual one of the distillers from Redwood Empire.
Redwood Empire, yeah.
So we're going to be talking. She's going to have some insight. Like I said, it's going to be a little weird, the podcast probably. We're going to be tasting on our own. We'll add our 2 cents from what we're listening to.
I'm actually very looking forward to this tonight. I think this will be a fun little first sit down, you know, with the whole group, and we're going to discuss everything and see what the palate is and see what the nose is. And I think it's going to be something new. Maybe we could do a few more of these down the road, but let's see how this one goes tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely hooked us up. I mean, it's super impressive. And some of these stuff from what we were looking up, they're, I shouldn't say they're rare, but they're in limited production.
Yeah, some of them we looked at.
And they're actually, it's a nice little price point, too, from what we've seen on their website. They have a nice little website. Yeah.
But some of them, they didn't make that many barrels of,
you know, from what we were looking at.
So we'll discuss that in a little bit. So let's kind of get started.
All right, let's see what we got.
All right, so right now we're on a Zoom call with the Long Island Whiskey Society. I'm going to take one of my earbuds out because I can't really hear.
All right.
And what we're doing is on a remote call with a company from Redwood Empire.
Redwood Empire.
We're doing this kind of off to the side. We're participating in the tasting, going to listen to people's comments. Right now we have the rep on there who's talking. Give us a little history about it.
So my name is Lauren Pat. I grew up actually in this area. I was born in St. Helena, and my parents had a winery out there. So food and beverage have always been a big part of my life. And I decided not to follow through in my my parents' footsteps with wine and kind of go down this path of whiskey and spirits distillation. Redwood Empire, kind of the idea behind it, started in 2013, but the distillery wasn't really finished, and we weren't really starting with production until 2015. And so I'd been distilling for a couple of years before that, and it was fun to kind of like have someone just down the street. If we needed enzymes, we could share them from each other and things like that. So it's actually been quite nice. And like I mentioned before, a little bit of an easy transition into Redwood Empire with the team here. Not, I mean, geographically for sure, but also philosophically. Jeff and I really share a mindset of approaching flavor in a slightly more delicate way. So we want things that are maybe on the slightly subtler side, but no less complex. They have a real depth of character to them, but they're not hyper aggressive. And that's reinforced by the type of production that we do here. Also, the climate here is slightly more temperate. And so you're getting kind of a little bit of a less tannic and harsh extraction. I mean, one of the best examples of that would be like Texas whiskey, right? You're looking for something really aggressive, really robust due to the differences in climate. And here in Northern California, we're looking at foggy mornings, you know, pretty much the same temperature all year round, maybe a little bit of rain, but not a huge amount of humidity. And that does have a pretty big impact on the overall maturation of the whiskey that we're producing here. So we talked a little bit about location as well. We are in the Redwood Empire. That's, you know, where we're getting our name, but it's also a geographical location. Like everything around here is named Redwood Empire, like our recycling service, our bank, our credit union, you know, like all this stuff is called Redwood Empire. And it's a small strip of land that starts right outside of San Francisco at Muir Woods. Some of you may be familiar with Muir Woods, but if you've ever seen like a car driving through a redwood tree, that's Muir Woods. And then it spans all the way up to the Oregon border. And it's the only place in the world where coastal redwood trees grow. And they're different than other sequoia varietals because they get the majority of their water from fog as opposed to from the soil. So they tend to grow much, much taller in order to capture as much of that fog as possible. And if any of you have ever experienced like what it's like out here, it's hard to describe in words how truly massive and majestic these trees are. I mean, they're just incredible. And once they get to be, you know, 1,000 years plus, we decide like, you've done a good job living so long. Maybe we should bestow a name upon you. And so that's the names of our SKUs. So Pipe Dream, Lost Monarch, Emerald Giant, these are all the names of specific individual redwood trees that have had a very long life and have kind of like been the cornerstone of the redwoods that grow around them. So there's a couple of different national parks, and all of these trees tend to grow in those national parks. And then on our bottle, they'll have like the longitude and latitude of where those trees are grown. So you can go out and visit them, give them a cheers, all that good stuff. And we also do two different programs for trees. One is Trees for the Future, which is what we do. Our tree, one tree gets planted for every bottle sold. And so we just reached 1.3 million trees recently. And then we also do a program called One Tree Planted, which is domestic. So Trees for the Future tends to be international, places in like high deforestation, you know, areas that it's going to have the most environmental impact. And then One Tree Planted is like we've done some things in Georgia, in Florida, and then a couple in California as well, which kind of look at different watersheds and different areas that can be impacted by growth. So that's kind of a bit more of the brand side of things.
Yeah, the artwork is pretty cool. I know they talk about the graphic artists behind the designs.
The artwork, he's a local artist. He's out of Petaluma, which is where our administrative offices are. And I think we, our VP of marketing always says, you know, you've made it when someone gets a tattoo of your label. And we've had three people get a tattoo of only one of the labels. All right, let's get to tasting. It's getting late. We got to get this party on, party started. So the Pipe Dream, the first three that we're going to taste are the three core SKUs that we offer. So like those are the heart of our brand. Those are our everyday offerings. Like those are our day-to-day straightforward kind of like offerings that we have. The Pipe Dream is our bourbon expression. So bourbon to me, you're looking to achieve two things. And both of those are reflected, are coming from that raw material of corn. So with corn, you know, not only do we get whiskey from it, but you're also looking that we get corn syrup and we also get vegetable oil from corn. And so I'm always looking for some of that in the bourbon itself. So I'm looking for a viscosity and I'm looking for sweetness. And I think that consumer expectations are a little bit more narrow when it comes to bourbon. There's a little bit less openness for experimentation and expression. But we have our new single lot series is our kind of like exploratory approach towards bourbon. And this is a slightly more standard one. So the Pipe Dream is a rule of four. So it's a blend of 4 to 14-year-old whiskey. It's a blend of 4 grains and it's a blend of 4 states. So for these three, they are blends. The first three that we're going to taste through, they're blends of purchased and produced whiskey. And then the last two are 100% distilled in-house. So this is Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, and California. So we put a portion of everything that we make, we put a portion of our own distillate in. But this one is a blend of a couple of other distilleries as well as our own distillate. So it really gives it a lot of unique characteristics. You know, bourbon out there can get a little samey. And so I think it's super important to be different in how you express and something kind of like recognizable as a house palette and style. All of these are going to be at 90 proof, so 45% alcohol, at least the first three, the core. And I think that that allows a little bit more versatility overall. I mean, yes, you can put a little water, you can put some ice in it, but also for mixing, if you're going to make a cocktail. You know, I was talking to this whiskey buyer and he's like, I only drink whiskey neat. And I was like, that's great. I mean, like, I really enjoy drinking whiskey neat, but, you know, a lot of people drink whiskey in a cocktail and you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't make a product that had the ability to also be put into a cocktail. I think the mixed messaging becomes like you have to put it in a cocktail in order to get it down as opposed to, you know, you should be able to enjoy the product. If it's in a bottle, it should be able to be enjoyed just all on its own.
Let's get to tasting. All right, Kirk.
All right, let's do this.
All right, there are three everyday offerings that we're going to try first.
I have not had Redwood Empire right now. She's asking if anybody's had it.
No, I haven't had any of the red meat.
We're doing Lost Monarch first. It's Alec.
Yeah, I think we're going in that order from left to right.
Well, it's actually pretty damn good. These are key for us.
I'm just doing 12 of them.
Yeah, what's going on with the website? I'm trying to get to their website and do some info on it. Ain't silly. So a little history about Redwood Empire Whiskey. They're a sustainable craft whiskey and bourbon, handmade in Northern California. They're environmentally friendly. All right, so the three that we're going to try right now, which is their main ones, they're all 90 proof, which is their standard.
I'm going to go with the Lost Monarch first. That's the bourbon rye mixture on the mash bill.
Yeah, so the Lost Monarch, just so they could give a little history, is named after the world's largest coastal redwood. Lost Monarch whiskey is a name to live up to. The award-winning bourbon rye blend, with an exceptional balance of sweetness and spice, the perfect choice for those who can't decide between rye or bourbon. We call it the best of both worlds. That's why they kind of dub it in parentheses. It's rye.
Interesting, though.
So they have some awards. If you look on their website, they have 94 points through the Cigar and Spirits magazine. That's in 2017. They won gold medal at the Vegas Gold Global Spirit Awards. That's a big one, 2019. They got the double gold at the SIP Awards in 2020.
Should start, which one do we like?
And I didn't match bills. People would drink already, so I don't know if they want to try
them. Tell you? People have already been swigging them back.
Because he's already on Pipe Dream, I think.
Well, he's just talking about some of them. Plus, what's whatever question he just asked. All right, so you want to do the Lost? You want to do the Lost Monarch?
Why not?
We'll do our own little tasting while we're listening and see if we get any pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, we took guy Lawrence sucking him down like freaking water.
All right, Lost Monarch. Lost Monarch. You know, I heard you describe it as a barai. I call it a ribin.
I like that she calls it a ribin.
A ribin.
So this is a 55% rye whiskey and 45% bourbon blend. So it is an American whiskey. This is a category that a lot of craft distillers are really using the latitude that you have with regulation in order to do some fun and crazy things, including blending different types of whiskey and really going after different flavor profiles and nosing profiles. And so this one is such a unique expression. It's one of my favorite spirits to taste blind, mostly because no one really knows what it is whenever I put it in front of them without giving them a preamble of what it is. I mean, it really gets that kind of creamy bourbon on the nose. And then the second you take that first or second sip, you kind of get like that fireworks pop rock sensation that's more common and accustomed to rye. But I really love this one. Again, kind of like hammering down the versatility of it as a product. It can be mixed in pretty much any sort of cocktail. You can play and pull out some of the bourbon components. You can play and pull out some of the rye components. But just like a really nice, complex, easy drinking whiskey. You know, if you've got like one thing, you're going out camping or something like that and planning on downing a bottle, this is a good one to have with you. I don't know what you guys do when you're camping, but that's pretty much my jam.
All right, so first let's talk about the color.
It's actually pour some another glass. Looks like you already beat me to it.
I haven't drank it yet.
And, I love these little tasting glasses. You know, certain angles, they say, if you hold on a certain angle, you get better smell.
That's a great smell.
Wow.
Has like a sweet smell to it. So, has pretty much like a dark amber color. Kind of slightly orange. I mean, I'm looking in your basement light, so it's not the best light.
Not the best light.
Oh, over the paper. If you do it over the paper, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Almost got like a berry tint.
Oh, my God, I really like this one.
Wow.
I could sip this one a lot. Got like that sweet front taste. Little bit of spice.
Not much spice.
No, I thought you would get that being that it was, you know, part rye.
It's actually really good, actually.
But it's got like that, almost like a syrupy taste. I don't know if it's like maple syrup or...
It's like a molasses. Not
a caramel?
Could be caramel, not too much molasses.
With a little bit of spice, I like that combo. It's like that sweet and spice. It's like, I don't really want to say sort of
mixing them two together. A bourbon and a rye, like this is bourbon rye.
That 60% rye, 40%
bourbon.
Yeah. That's a cool blend. I like the ideas of the blends.
75 corn, 21 on the raw rye, and then 4% on the malt and barley.
That's running out of 90 proof.
Can they say it's a blend of 4 to 12 year old bourbon and 3 to 5 year old rye?
Barrel rye.
Look, kind of like this.
Right now, we got Lawrence from the group asking some questions. Huge shout out to him for setting this all up. He was the guy that coordinated everything. So it seems like a good group of guys this Long Island Whiskey Society.
So we do the bottled and bonds as kind of like our in-house options. Also, the two that just recently got released, the Devil's Tower and the Foggy Barrel, those are 100% distilled internally. I think we're a ways away from any sort of transition to 100% grain to glass. We are probably a couple of years out from building out the new distillery. We do have a 24-inch Vendôme column that will 9x our overall daily capacity, which would make it possible for us to move into like 100% grain to glass space. But we're years away from that happening. And so it's possible, but it's unlikely to happen in the near future.
All right, want to try the pipe?
Look at the pipe dream a little bit.
Is it the glass or is it the glass? All right, Monarch to the side.
So, all right, I'll give you a little spiel on the pipe dream in a minute.
Oh, whatever, right off the bat, it smelled. It's got a touchdown, a little bit of lard.
Listen, although that has a nice smell. They all have this like sweet, pleasant smell.
And nothing's like overpowered.
So, pipe dream. This is named after the 14th tallest tree on the planet. Pipe Dream is one of their first craft bourbon whiskeys. Pipe Dream is made from barrels aged between 4 and 12 years with a high corn mash bill, which gives it a smooth, complex taste, which makes it a true sipping whiskey. So I don't know if you looked at the coloring compared to the other one. This one's definitely a little bit lighter in color. Almost like a, I'm not going to say straw, but gives it like more of a goldeny color.
It's a hint, actually, if you look at it, it's actually a hint darker than the Lost Monarch.
Not in the light. I feel like when you put it to the light, it almost gives it like that.
If you drop it on a white piece of paper, if you're looking at it that way, I'm going to say the Pipe Dream is actually a little bit darker. The aging is probably just a slight, a little bit more than what it should be. That's why you get in the darker barrel. You said that was 90 proof, correct?
Yeah, 90 proof.
Yes. I'm sure I can speak for a bunch of us. A lot of us are, we really enjoy cask strength bourbons. But, I mean, for something that's only 90 proof, it has really a tremendous amount of layered flavor in there and, a very nice finish. And I love that it has, like, this sort of very sweet layer that sort of goes from the front of the palate to the back of the palate, right across the top of everything.
These are really complicated blends that are getting put together because there's so many different components that are being added. I mean, there's probably 20 different lots that are being included in these blends because you have to take into consideration the ratio contribution of each state, the ratio contribution of each age, and then also the ratio contribution of each individual mash bill. And so, of course, we're looking for consistency with the Pipe Dream. And because of that, we have this truly incredible scaffolding in Excel that kind of provides like the base breakdown of that. But in the end, it's always going to be sensory perception that makes the final call. But these are really complex for these just like everyday offerings because we're putting so much effort into the blending of them. Yeah.
Almost got a lot of flowery.
This one's good. I actually like the Lost Monarch better. This is almost like the little bland on the finish.
It's got too much bite in the beginning.
Yeah, it's got a little bite in the beginning.
Yeah.
You still have the sweetness there in the beginning, but they're just kind of like...
There's nothing that finishes it off.
Yeah.
I don't feel like... I don't taste anything. I feel the bite in the beginning. I actually feel it on the lips.
Yeah, you have that initial taste.
Yeah, the initial hits you with the bite.
I mean, they have a high mash bill. They're 75%
corn. 75
corn,
21 on the raw rye, and 4% on the malted barley. You know? That's still a 90 proof.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll let it keep this one.
Yeah. This one's okay. I'm not really...
Yeah, I'm not. Now.
I think I probably would have liked the order that they did it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't... We should have done this one first and then the Lost Moron.
Yeah.
And then we would have progressively gotten better.
And I'm welcome in. You got to give your over what?
The over-under.
The over-under. Well, no, like...
Yeah, as I'm drinking it,
I still feel the burn on the lip.
I'm definitely getting that... Not so much the burn. I'm getting like that beginning corn taste. Like you can like taste the corn in the beginning and it just like, it just goes away. Like there's no finish. Where I feel like with the other one, it started off, you got that sweet caramelly taste with a little bit of spice that went the whole way.
School check marks, X's, earned the little scores.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I still finished the glass, but.
Oh, look at it.
Not
either way. So Pipe Dream, I'm going to put on my, as what we had so far, I'm going to go with our. The lower end.
I would agree with that.
I would agree on the Lost Monarch. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the people on the cast was just on the Zoom call or Teams call was just saying how they were getting in new to bourbon with him and his wife and that they drank the Lost Monarch and something that they could drink like all day long. Like it's a good sipping one. I would definitely agree with that one. This one's going to be on my buy list.
I could see where he's coming from. It just has a smooth finish on that last one. Well, there you go. You want to try a little the Emerald Giant? That's a rye.
So this is a Emerald Giant. So this is the next one is the last of the three core. And this is our rye expression. So this is a very high rye. So our internal rye mash bill is 90% rye, 5% malted barley, and 5% wheat. But because we are pulling, you know, from MGP and Bardstown and stuff like that, we're probably closer to like 93% rye. And our wheat component is about 3%. We'll probably tap out at about 5% wheat eventually. When I got on, we started creeping up that wheat content just a little bit. And I think that this rye is stunning. I mean, industry standard for rye is really aggressive, very astringent, abrasive. Like very, very bold. And a lot of people really like that. And it's not that I don't like it. I just think there's like so much of that, like I want to be drinking at any given time. Like a sour beer. You know what I mean? I like enjoy sour beers, but I really only want to be drinking a little bit of it. And then I'll move on to something else. This rye, we're really trying to celebrate the flavor of the grain as opposed to the sensation of the feeling of it. So we talked a little bit about like how rye can have a shorter finish. With corn, you know, it has that fusel oil in it. It's really thick. It has that viscosity. It protects your palate, protects your mouthfeel. Rye does not have that. I mean, the chemical composition of rye does not have the same kind of texture to it after distillation that bourbon does. You know, it has a lot more protein in it. It gets really gluey and there's just not a lot in there to kind of like protect your mouth. And that's why it can feel much more like burning with rye, which can, again, be off-putting to a lot of people. So this, our approach here is really trying to soften some of the sensation of it and really explore the flavor of it. So, you know, oftentimes rye is described as spicy, but I think what they're reacting to is more like the actual physical heat of it than as opposed to the flavor. I find rye to be very earthy, to be very grassy, to be very medicinal and herbal, almost tea-like when you can actually taste the grain in it. And that's what I really love about rye. I often get like alfalfa and like that menthol. some people think of it as like cardamom. I often think of it as eucalyptus. You know, being out here in Northern California, there's a lot of eucalyptus trees. So that's just kind of like where my mind goes. But mint, you know, it has kind of like that that minty aspect to it. But it also has some sweetness in there to balance it out. It's not just bitter and harsh.
All right, so let's... The emerald
this coat. One is a little, like when you start comparing them.
It's starting to darken up.
It's darkening.
It's going down the line on the darkenings.
This one has like an orange hue to it. Not as much as the cast strength ones, but.
This is going to be very fun down the road. I can see that.
All right, let's read the description of Scissor. So the Emerald Giant, a craft rye whiskey named after the fastest growing redwood in the world, the Emerald Giant. It's a fan favorite in the craft rye whiskey world. They started with a mash bill of 95% premium rye and aged it for over 3 years in a new charred oak barrel. It's spicy with exceptionally smooth finish, and it's a great choice in your classic whiskey cocktails.
Fantastic.
So before we drink, let's talk about their awards. Again, they seem
The awards are doing fantastic.
97 points in the Tasting Panel magazine in 1919. Double gold in the Vegas Global Spirits Awards in 2019. I think that's one of the bigger competitions.
Yeah.
And the double gold in the Sunset Magazine International Spirits Competition
in
2019.
All right.
Ready?
All right, let's do it. This is the Emerald Giant Rye.
These all have really good smells.
The smell is this one is very good.
I don't know how they get that, but it has such a sweet smell. Like I keep getting all these like caramelly.
I was gonna say, yeah, I got like I'm a very high end sweet note at the end.
Hint of mocha, somebody saying in the
really.
Actually now that he said it on the finish, like the aftertaste, I could get a little bit of the mocha. She's saying it might
chocolate malt.
Yeah, she said it might be due to the malted barley.
Yeah.
This definitely tastes like more of a true rye.
Yeah, and I'm not really a big rye drinker, but it's actually...
So rye ages a little bit quicker than bourbon, she's saying. This, by the way, who we're listening to, I believe she's the master distiller at Redwood Empire. So definitely interesting talking to her. Yeah, this is a good one. I like this one. This one's getting a check in my book. Rye, I have to be in the mood for like that spice.
Well, that's the thing. It's got rye's got a finish at the end. That's
so. The tasting notes on the website says spicy complexity with smooth rye notes and a hint of honey and orange peel becomes peppery with a lingering cinnamon. I can't say it now. I can't say it. Cinnamon. Oh, there we go. I said
a little cinnamony
finish. I'm not really getting the cinnamon. I mean, you definitely have that spice to it.
I got the spice. I don't have a cinnamon.
And it's funny when that guy on the call said the mocha. I was definitely feeling the mocha.
I get it like a clove almost.
You know what it is when I think of spice. When I say spicy, that's what I get.
Like yeah, I'm like a clove. So I just got a thing. If there's 8 tickets available, but you're not available Saturday for the New York City Parade.
Wait, so you?
I just got a text message. I want tickets for the New York City Parade on Saturday.
Did you get your class right?
Huh?
Did you get your class right?
No, but I could sit in the grandstands right now because we just made a major donation. So.
All right, we're going to the cast strength.
Oh, man.
Did you just pour the cast strength?
Yeah.
They're about to.
Oh, all right. So we're good.
Scott, everybody's drinking and sniffing right now. Get a kick with this guy on the beach. I mean, has that sweet smell. You definitely lose it because of that potency of the... I mean, this is 116 proof, so this is their cast strength. Where we were just drinking at 90 proof, so. went from 45% alcohol to about a little over 58.
Yeah.
Really?
Fascinating. So one of the things we were just listening to was, which makes sense, is that factors in making bourbon, rye, you know, whiskey in general is one, temperature, which we can all assume with when you're dealing with barrels and aging. But she's also talking about alcohol content and how the alcohol content in the barrel, as that percentage changes, the solubility of the different molecule that it adds to flavor, it take, you know, texture and whatnot, comes in and out of solubility depending on what concentration you're at, which I guess also makes sense when you think about it, because they always talk about, you know, some people prefer adding some water to things, watering it down a little bit, because it tastes
flavor. The drop of the water usually brings out all the aromatic flavors.
Because maybe some things come out of solution. Was dissolved, not dissolved, evaporates.
Interesting.
So she's talking about how distillers are essentially control freaks when it's talking about alcohol percentage, temperature, etc., because it obviously changes the flavor profile. The more you know, right?
But I also think that the aromatics are definitely going to be, you know, more present with the cask strength, right? There's less water holding down the alcohol, and so it'll volatilize much more readily and create that nice little vapor cloud right off the top, so you can get a little bit more of the aromatics. I think for a cask strength rye, this is super sippable. I mean, you know, there really isn't a lot in terms of structure when it comes to rye whiskey, and so to have something at I think this one's 116.4. I think that's what this whiskey is at. We just shifted down, so the next round of cask strength will be like about one proof point lower than what these offerings are, due to the components we're using are going to be slightly different, so they're going to have to go down just a little bit. One of the really interesting things is, like, you know, we talked about climate, but the whiskey that we're bringing in from like Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee, all of that whiskey goes down in proof, and all of the whiskey that we put in here and age here goes up in proof. So they're putting in whiskey, their barrel entry numbers are between 120 and 125, and they're getting pulled out between 116, 118. And then everything that we put in around 110, and everything coming out is between 116 and 118. So the end proof is the same, but like the direction that it's headed is different, and that's due to the differences in climate. So lack of humidity and slightly cooler here as opposed to, you know, warmer and a more humid out east here.
I wish we had the cast strength of the Lost Monarch. That would be the good one.
Yeah.
Funny, you just said that. The Lost Monarch cast.
Oh, she agrees. She agrees.
She goes right back to the Bull Rye.
All right, so let's look at the cast strength and see what it says. So the Emerald Cask, Emerald Giant, uncut, unfiltered, experience Emerald Giant straight from the barrel in this limited edition cask strength offering, aged for a minimum of 4 years in the temperatured climate of Northern California coast. Explore new heights in Redwood Empire's craft whiskey. So the color is a burnt orange, delicate herbal tea, soft cinnamon, and dried orange on the nose. The palate is an Earl Grey tea, viscous dark chocolate, coffee beans, warm spice finish. And the bill is 94.5 with 1% wheat. Now, again, on the smell, I'm not really smelling the soft cinnamon. Again, all these ones I'm getting like that sweet, almost like caramelly hint. But my taste buds definitely are not there for the high percent alcohol.
Yeah.
I lose, like, all the flavors that they're talking about, I lose them.
Whoop.
She's over.
What's that?
It's over.
Oh, so she's heading out?
I don't know. I kind of like that one.
I say I'm drinking it more, and as I'm getting used to the percentage, I think I'm getting more and more of the flavor.
Yeah, it's 116 proof.
What are you going back for seconds?
Yeah, I already told the boys to work.
What's that?
I already told the guys at work tomorrow to be a little late.
Do like that one?
It actually was good.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I just can't. Like, I wouldn't sip something this high percentage.
No,
I would.
Pound it.
No, I like cocktails.
Yeah.
But then at the same point, when you're making a cocktail, you're essentially diluting it down anyway.
Yeah.
But you'd be taking, you know, let's say
taking a lot of
90 proof, and you're diluting that down lower. Well, now you're taking 116 and diluting that. You're still getting the flavors.
I never heard of Redwood Empire before, but it's, you got some pretty good.
No, you know what it is? It's a California-based California whiskey. So I wonder how long they've been.
When did they start? But are they? They're still charred in oak barrels. I wonder if it's like a special barrel. Does it say anything about that?
Well, it has to be in a new oak barrel. Like, that's the definition of
bourbon. Yeah, but
that's the definition of bourbon.
But I didn't know you could maybe put like a filter it through something, right?
What's that?
Can you filter it through? Like run it through something. Where? What did they start? Story. Let's read their story. The Redwood Empire. The Redwood Empire stretches from San Francisco to Humboldt Bay and on the Oregon border. It is rugged, sparsely populated area still dominated by forests, including protected groves of Muir woods and massive forests of the Humboldt Redwoods. Redwood Forest is a perfectly balanced ecosystem where all the elements works in harmony. The grandeur of the Redwoods can be experienced throughout the Northern California backyard here in Sonoma County. I want to know when they actually started.
All right. So according to ChatGPT, Redwood Empire Distillery was founded in 2015.
Really?
9 years old.
Oh.
All right. So what is the one next one we're pouring?
The next one is the Grizzly Beast. That's the Bottled and Bond.
Bottled and Bond. So that has a cool... Bottled and Bond is a cool... I don't know, what's the word? Category?
I would say category. It's,
so let's talk about what Bottled and Bond needs. I'm going to go to my good friend ChatGPT for the actual definition so I don't mess it up. I know, I don't want to say legally, but by definition, it has to meet certain criteria in order to be considered Bottled and Bond. So the term bottled and bond originates, obviously, in the United States, where bourbon originates. It has its roots in the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This legislation was introduced to create a standard of quality for distilled beverages, especially whiskey, in response to the widespread inconsistencies in the alcohol industry during that era. So people making fake stuff, buying stuff, watering things down, shoe polish for coloring, all things, you know, when you watch all those documentaries they talk about. So they had to carry the Bottled and Bond label as a spirit to show that they adhered to certain conditions. So those conditions are, one, production. The spirit must be produced, must be a product of one distillation season. So kind of like our season, well, to spring. Their seasons would be like January to June or July to December, and by a single distiller at a single distillery.
Okay.
So it has to be made within a certain time frame by one distiller at one specific place, distillery. The aging, it must be aged in a federally bonded warehouse under the U.S. government supervision for at least 4 years.
Really?
So I guess that's to prove that it was actually aged for that time frame.
Huh.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
And then bottle strength. The spirit must be bottled at exactly 100 proof, 50% alcohol by volume. So I'm assuming...
we are exactly 100 proof, 50% alcohol by volume.
And then lastly, the labeling. The label must identify the distillery, where it was distilled, and if different, where it was bottled.
So, you know, if you're distilled at one place but have it bottled someplace else, you have to label everything.
Huh.
So that designation is, in theory, to mark authenticity and quality and to meet certain government specifics. Kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
So I guess this is kind of like a nod to history.
Yeah.
When you do a bottled and bog, and must also give it some, I don't want to say unique characteristics, but give it some specific characteristics as far as obviously percentage, age, color, texture, all that
stuff.
So let's kind of read up on this specific one.
This is the Grizzly Beast. Where's my website? Something. I never knew that. 4.5 years
and this
minimum.
Is cast strength, right?
This isn't cast. This is a bottled and bond. There's no more cast. This Grizzly Beast is the bottle.
Yep, bottle and bottle. Here it is. All right. So the Grizzly Beast. All right. So awards. 90 points on Whiskey Advocate. 95 points in the tasting panel. Silver medal in the Sunset International Spirit Competition. They're currently out of stock on their website, by the way.
Really?
Well, then they're
She's right into it.
So this is a 5-grain bourbon, which is fun because it's pretty unusual. So corn, obviously, rye, wheat, malted barley, and then there's just a pinch of triticale in there. Yeah, triticale. It's like one of my favorite grains, you know, outside of wheat to work with. It's a hybrid grain of wheat and rye. So it was kind of grafted together, you know, a century or so ago. The intention behind it was to kind of harness the hardiness of rye with the abundance of wheat. They were successful in creating triticale, but it really hasn't gone anywhere commercially. So like human food, it's not really used for that. It's not really used for spirits production. It's mainly used as animal feed because it's cheap and it's easy to grow. But I've had some really fun beers that have been made out of triticale. And I've also made vodka from it before, and I've also made whiskeys from just triticale. And this was triticale that was part of a bourbon recipe, but it's such a fun grain because it really kind of like embodies both of what you would expect from a rye grain and a wheat grain at the same time. It's not like they're blended together. It's like you're experiencing them simultaneously. And this, again, it's a very small percent. I think it's like 2 or 3%, but it's kind of like a fun little piece of the overall complex puzzle that makes this this bottled in bond. So again, this is 100%. It's built in house, 5 years, 100 proof.
Oh, huh. Peated bourbon and a peated rye, smoked peated.
So you kind of have that like Irish whiskey fusion.
Yeah.
All right. So little notes on the Grizzly Beast. So it's a single season, single distillery. The rare bonded bourbon whiskey was bottled under the strict tenets of the Bottled and Bond Act of 1987. Age and the temperature climate of the Northern California coast, the original distillate was altered only by the addition of pure water from the Russian River Valley aquifer. This bonded whiskey is the purest expression of Redwood Empire's craft. Distilled season, spring 2018. According to what I'm reading on the website, I don't know which version we have, but the label looks the same. Bottled in June 2023. They made about 105 barrels. And the nose is supposed to be a cherry cola / rhubarb pie.
Huh. Well, she was just saying that on the mash bill. Did you just read what the mash bill was?
I'm seeing corn, rye, barley, wheat.
That's triticale. Triticale is actually a hybrid. It's a hybrid between a wheat and a rye. So she was just saying it was something offshoot that they went with.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so triticale is 2% coming in at this. So you have 68% corn.
And that's what gives it a distinctly unique taste.
Yeah.
To them.
To them. So it's 5% barley, 5% wheat, 2% triticale. And like I said, triticale is a hybrid of wheat and a rye mixture. So let's see how this goes on the Grizzly Beast Bottled and Bond.
Well, she was also saying kind of not as far as the blend, but like with the Emerald Coast rye, that sometimes they use different malted barley is like they might use a
chocolate barley.
And that might give it those coffee notes, etc.
Roasted barleys, chocolate barleys.
Curry Italian ice. Do it's funny. I don't think I would pick up on it because I'm not good like that.
No.
But the smell, after he said that, I'm smelling almost the beginnings of like, ever get the cherry cola Slurpee from 7-Eleven? Like a very hint scent of that.
No.
I don't get the rhubarb. I could see the cherry cola. You got to get it before that alcohol scent hits your nose.
Oof.
I like this one.
Passion fruits.
I like this one.
It's got some good fruit flavors to it. I actually like this.
So I think like 100%, you know, 100 proof, sorry, not 100%. It's kind of like my limit.
Yeah, I'm not going higher than 100. I'm a 100 guy.
I feel like when I go too high, I kind of lose everything, where this kind of
balances it out a little bit.
Yeah. It's so bad at saying tastes, like how to compare them.
Yeah. New drop in the back.
It's funny. All these have that like unique scent to it.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them has that similar beginning scent, which must be like unique to them.
All right, you want to try the last one?
Let's go. I'm ready to try the last one. Let's go to the Rocket Top Bottled in Bond.
It's another 100 proof ABV.
So it's another
50%.
So let's talk about the difference. So this one is more or less a rye. The Grizzly Beast was 68% corn, 20% rye.
Yes.
So definitely a bourbon. This one is 86% rye with only 2% corn. So this would classify as a rye.
And it doesn't have the Trincali in it.
And it doesn't have the what? What was it called?
Trincali. Trincali was the hybrid of the wheat and the rye.
All right. Rocket Top. Straight rye whiskey.
86 rye, 7% malted barley, 5% wheat, 2% corn.
All right, so going back to the awards list, 91 points, Whiskey Advocate. 95 points, Tasting Panel. 97 points, and double gold in the Sunset International Spirit Competition. This says, this rare bonded rye whiskey is bottled under the strict tenets of the Bottle in the Bond Act of 1897, even though we now know that it's not in a bonded warehouse.
No.
Aged in the temperature climate of the Northern California coast of the original distillate, where it was altered only by the addition of pure water from the Russian River Valley, this whiskey, bonded whiskey, is the purest expression, just like the last one, of their craft empire. So this one was distilled in 2018, bottled in June 2023. They only made 63 barrels, so this is pretty rare that we're tasting.
Really?
63 barrels is not that
That's big. Not much.
Well, this is exciting. This is like not many people are trying this.
No. Uh-oh. This could be the one.
Why?
I don't know.
All right. So give it a little nose to it. What are you smelling? I already read the thing, so it just ruined my... to me, all these have that
banana profile.
I don't get banana.
You don't get banana? No, all the way further from your nose.
Talk about
all further away from your nose. Guys, take it, pull it away. Get it from the side.
Maybe like a grilled, like a caramelized banana. Like I still get that caramelized smell.
As soon as they said it, picked right up on it.
So that's what ruins it. It's funny. So like the nose that when I read it off the list, they say a cinnamon stick and mascarpone.
Mascarpone.
That's an Italian
cheese.
Cheese.
I would definitely have no mascarpone there.
Right, don't they use mascarpone making cannolis?
Yeah, or you could use it actually making like a nice Italian pasta dish.
I'm thinking dessert.
Yeah, being a mascarpone.
Like, I don't get, like, I get, like, maybe, like...
No, I can smell a hint, like, but I'm not getting...
Like, the brûlée bananas, like, you know...
Yeah, the cream brûlées. Creme brûlée.
I'm very curious on the palate. I shouldn't have read this. I should have tasted it first before I read it, because now it just ruins... The taste makes me biased. So this was aged for 5 years. It's 100 proof. 86% rye, 7% malted barley, 5% wheat, 2% corn. They're another one with a really nice bottle. I like their bottle. I like the tax tag.
Tax tag is key. Tax tag is something nice. Now, they're saying this has almost, what are they saying? Almost a $400 taste, they're saying?
Shut up.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about, these guys.
No. This is not $400 to taste. I'm going to look online. How much is this? It's an $80 bottle. That's my $400 taste. Oh, that's funny. So apparently the artist that has done the labels for it, Redwood Empire, has also done Kraken Rum.
Yeah, he's from Petaluma.
Which is funny, because now you're looking at their labels and you could see a similar... Like a stencil drawing, like the hand-drawn type. Did we get this guy's name? I'm just...
Kinda... So he didn't have his name, but he's from Patalona. I guess that's one of...
I think she matched him in the beginning of the...
No, but they just asked, and she says you're going to have to find him.
I thought she mentioned him towards the beginning. I'm just saying that it's a nice design. It's a similar... I like the... Pencil drawn effects.
I'll show you. I got some when we're done.
This one's all right. This one definitely has that spice as a rye.
What is it? Something like that.
Which puts it at a slight disadvantage. All right. So that was our tasting. I think it was a good turnout. I mean, it's definitely cool that they hooked us up. I mean, like I said, I mean, the amount of stuff she talked about, she gave us a lot of education. You know, again, a little weird being that we're not airing their side of everything, but just kind of stuff that we're listening to. She definitely knew what she was talking about. I mean, the mix between the science and the art.
I was very happy with it overall. She was very, gave us a lot of knowledge. Everything was good. I feel like I learned a lot about different this end of the whole thing. The one she had was the last monarch that I'm actually was very surprised was a bourbon rye
mixture. So, that I'm definitely going to be looking up later or tomorrow and going to purchase.
Very impressive. So, I was actually impressed the way how they made that and everything else. So
yeah, so definitely look up Redwood Empire. Definitely check out that website. They're in California, so it looks like they can distribute nationwide. So you can purchase it and get the bottle shipped. I don't know what shipping would cost. But definitely look it out. Like I said, I think our personal favorite out of the six we tried was, I would agree with the Lost Monarch, right?
Yeah, the Lost Monarch was definitely number one. That was probably my favorite one coming in.
So if you're going to get something and if they still have it available, definitely try that one out. I don't know that. I really like that one.
It's nice too, because on their website, you can purchase directly from their website.
I'm not going to lie, they had pretty good merchandise too.
Yeah, they had pretty good, really nice merchandise. I don't know, some of it, I may even have to pick up some swag as we go.
Yeah, a sweatshirt might be in my future.
We may have to throw you a little tag on that one. No, I actually was very happy tonight. What was her name again? Was it Lauren?
It was Lauren.
Lauren was her name, and she's the head distiller, I think it was. And she was fantastic with everything.
Yeah, super smart, like the stuff that she was talking about and the artistry with what their company is doing and, you know, the story behind it. It was definitely interesting. So definitely, again, you know, it's going to be a little, this podcast could be a little unique. Definitely look them up and research.
Yeah, it's one that I would definitely try. Keep it in your top lists, you know, if you sit down, if you want a good little sip and bourbon, I would definitely go with that. And I think this is it. This is the good one for us.
All right. So, you know, thank you guys for listening. Please make sure you like, follow, and share us, you know, on social media, Facebook, Instagram, as well as, you know, keep listening on the podcast.
And thank you again, everyone, for listening. And again, like Nick said, figure it all out. Listen, like, share, follow, whatever you want to do. But when we talk about these different companies and, you know, distillers that we talk about, give them a like, listen, and share, follow, too. So it actually helps their businesses as well as it helps with our podcast.
All right, man. All right. Be good, guys.
All right, later, guys.
Bye.